Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, it is the Red Men Podcast. We are back for another Red Men Podcast in Merseyside Derby Week. I am Paul Machin. Sam Walker and Steve Hoare join me for this one. What a time to be alive. Everyone's all firmly snuggied up in their hoodies for today, although Steve has returned to shorts. The world will be pleased to know.
Yeah, you guys, unfortunately, watching and the glass covers the goods.
I know. Yeah, well, we've had a lot of debate about how horrendous the grass looks on this set. It will go in the new year when we can get our heads around that. But it is hiding. It's whether you like legs or not, because you're getting legs from Steve all year round.
Yeah, pretty much. I've got a rule. I wear shorts unless it's below zero. Like yesterday, I wore jeans because it was fucking freezing and I didn't like it.
Calf constriction.
It was more like, you know, my leg. they deserve to be free.
So if you get in the car, right, if you leave the house and it's zero,
I'll go back in and get it.
And you go back in the car and it's -1, oh, better go in. It's, yeah.
If you've got a de-ice car.
It's generally, I look out and if I can see ice, then I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even have a spare pair of jeans in the boot. Oh, okay. So I could leave in shorts.
Stink.
And not they don't stink, I've washed them, I've wear them. Oh, right. I don't just leave.
That'll be about how long did you sit in the car for?
it can be a while.
364 days.
No, because obviously I know circa April to October, I'm generally all right.
Oh, you got to clean then. You got to go.
Yeah, you bring the stick there. You've
got one of them little yellow trees on it that you can see your car in the back.
Shoved into the back pocket.
So have you seen me on jeans? If you've seen me on jeans on many of the shows, I've probably put them on an hour before about out. Nice. But I am. Sorry, no one can see the legs, but the legs are awesome, trust me.
Top notch. Right, so let's get into some kickoff. I've got a start. Show, I know, right. We're going to be talking Ballon d'Or a little later on. We'll be talking Merseyside Derby as well, of course. All of this kind of links in, to be perfectly honest, and largely it links into the Ballon d'Or. But the first one, there's a bit... We get criticised for doing, post-Jürgen Klopp content because life's miserable enough, but everybody asked about the Ballon d'Or, so we had not, we literally, it was slim pickings in the questions. We put a tweet out. Normally it's like a Monday, a late Monday, but generally sometimes Ross doesn't do his job right and it's a Tuesday morning when it goes out, where we ask for your questions for this. So please, next week, just keep your eyes on at the Redmen TV Twitter account and get better questions in. Craig in Kent asks, of the big European clubs on the continent, which club do you think would appeal to Klopp to manage next? Post his Liverpool career, brackets, which of course which won't happen, as he will stay at LFC forever. That's what good, nicely caveated there, Craig. I'm really not sure. Is there an obvious answer that I'm just because everyone goes? I think the obvious answer is everyone goes Bayern Munich, but I don't think Klopp would want to manage Bayern Munich.
He ought to be laughed, didn't he? When he told that Bayern Munich had lost one time. But then again, listen. but then again, Rafa Benitez manages Everton now. Who knows how things play out. I could see him going back to Dortmund. I wouldn't be hugely shocked if that happened. That's the only one that really... Because who knows? Because people change. And money gets put in front of you and chance to win stuff. Listen, I can't see him being happy at PSG, Real Madrid, Barcelona. I just can't see him any of those. Could he fancy Italy? Maybe.
I could maybe see Barcelona. I could see Barca. They're a bit more, there's more to them, isn't there, than Real Madrid or PSG.
It's more than a club thing.
But if you look at what Pep did with them, where he took over a good side that had, was it a couple of years after he won the European Cup, he took over, they needed a bit of a rebuild, and he brought all the young players in. You can kind of see Klopp doing that, kind of implementing his own style like Pep did. You know what I mean? It's creating that.
But are they going to be anything? Are they going to be a fun project in 2 years' time? I mean, actually, maybe, but it's this thing. Sorry, Sam, but is that it's a bit like how they say you can't go back in like life. Some people can't go back in lifestyle. Like having been there and had what you want, would you want to go back to like a place where you've got to start from?
But they're kind of doing scratch. That now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose, I mean, it depends how well Xavi does. If he stays there, you can imagine him staying there as well, can't you? Doing well, sort of bringing the young players through, getting rid of some of the players they're talking about getting rid of. I don't know, it's a tricky one. You're right with Dortmund as well, but then do you want to go backwards? You've kind of done that. Do you want to go back on your career? It's also his age. Well, I don't know how old Klopp is. He's in his 50s, is he? So if he does do till at least the end of his contract, Liverpool, how old's he going to be? Does he want to have a bit of time off?
54.
Somewhere in Italy might suit him where he can go in there and pick up a club that
Roma could be a good. Yeah. I could see something again.
Milan.
Yeah. Mate, you know what? I think...
Ooh, AC Milan.
Possibly. Like a rebuild of a giant, maybe. Or, listen, I don't think he will. I think his next job, he'll have Liverpool. If he takes his break, he will. I think he'll extend his contract, by the way. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he'll extend the contract. And then after that, maybe 5 years, when he's 60 odd, he might just take the Germany job, have a few years at the Germany job and then jib it in. He doesn't seem to be a fella a la Roy Hodgson, who wants to be managing 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Klopp seems like he loves life more than that. I don't think he's going to leave. Everyone's worried that he's going to go at the end of this contract. I think he'll get one more for this reason that we're having now, because he'll look around and go, it's either 6 months off, where am I going here? Because everything is either corporate, global, state-owned, massive, giant things. I don't think he fancies that. I don't really want to be too far behind those. Like, I'm almost in the perfect position, because again, I don't think he wants the state-owned stuff, and I don't think he wants to be shit.
He's also one of those guys who's going to be, we had this chat a few months ago about how, like, you're a long time retired, and like you can make bad decisions in that. Like, I mean, Kenny Dalglish famously was totally burned out after Hillsborough and with Liverpool and whatever, and needed a rest, but got, I think something he said like a month later, he was like, I was ready to come back, but I couldn't. I was gone. He's the kind of guy that we were joking now, and I feel like this sometimes where I look around my house and I go like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to be that guy who potters around the house and fixes things and like I'll repair that gutter, and I'll do some gardening. But then we were locked down for 6 months. I did none of it, because it's clearly not my bag at all. My mother-in-law did a lot of work in that time. And I was like, and I wonder whether he's that kind of guy. You're right. He'll go, oh yeah, oh, I've got this idea. Oh, I'm going to be sitting around, and he'll just get bored. I think he's so hyperactive that he would like the Germany job. I think he would be really.
I do. I've never
bored.
Said he'd take that.
See, I think he would. Cause I think he would just like go on the match. Like, yeah. I just think he'd like to go around Germany and just enjoy going around.
But
Germany.
Do you reckon that's age 60 though?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a bit more.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's staying after. I don't think he goes in. Was it 2 years time? I think he signs again.
If you look at the Premier League, right now, I don't think it's ever going to get harder than it's been now. We all know Tuchel's not doing another 12 months at Chelsea. If he's there at the end of 2023 season, wow. You know what I mean? He's broke the mold there, because that's the way they work. Yeah. When this system gets found out, they might win a few more trophies. He's gone. The next guy's in. Nagelsmann, whoever it's going to be. Pep's going this year or next. He's already said he's not staying beyond next, but he might even go next summer, the way he's fallen out with their fans. And then you look at United, how long is it going to take them? Actually, this could fall very nicely into Klopp, into being consistent in Liverpool, continuing what he's doing. And the landscape of the league kind of goes a bit like that. I think it could happen.
It just sees what his working environment's like. Yeah. How does the squad evolve? What is the next crop? Because again, it's how hard the job becomes. You don't want to be that guy who's like the Steven Gerrard syndrome of it's all on you again. So you've had it really good. It's like Gerrard builds up to 2008, 2009, and all of a sudden he's got a boss team around him, having been the main shining light, and then that just gets stripped away, and then he's got to stay because he's the thing that's holding it all together. I don't think he wants that, but sometimes, I've mentioned this before, I did a video on this on my YouTube channel a year ago or 6 months ago about the crapping, and you don't notice that happening. It kind of creeps up on you. But no, I just thought it was interesting. It's a good question in some regards, because there's no, like, you're right, like, not like Real Madrid is the sort of such a well-trodden path, but I can't see that he would be asked for Real Madrid.
He'd have been there already. I think he could have had that job any time in the last seven managers they've sacked. Like, yeah. If he wanted it, he could have just got out of Liverpool and went. Yeah, the only one that makes sense really is Dortmund, and I say maybe Italy.
But I just don't see why. But the AC Milan thing's interesting because you've got the Arrigo Sacchi connection. That's like, he's like his hero, isn't he? Ah. And the idea of kind of following in his footsteps and rebuilding another European
and living
giant,
in Milan sounds like.
And living in Milan would be okay.
Yeah.
So that's a really good question. Now, what do you think? Let us know in the live comments if you're here live on YouTube right now, or you can just put it in the comments after the fact, or you can tweet us. Why not? We have another couple of questions that kind of link in to our discussion that will happen post break. But Ben Spybe says, can you think of six players better in world football than Mo Salah?
See, this is the thing with the Ballon d'Or. It should be the best player, but it's not, because I can guarantee you with every ounce of my fibre, Mo Salah's better at football than Jorginho. I promise you. And that might sound wild, I apologise, but honestly, there's nothing in the world that Mo Salah doesn't do as well as Jorginho. Honestly, it's absolutely fine, but that's the thing with a Ballon d'Or. Like, it's a nonsense narrative-driven award that we're all going to be clamouring for Mo to win next year, by the way. So I'm very much being hypocritical there, but no, listen, again, that's the thing, it goes on a year's worth of footy as well, doesn't it? In a year where there was an international tournament and Liverpool didn't win anything. And like, as much as like they all try to say, a footy players won't have watched every Liverpool game. They'll have watched the Champions League final that Jorginho was in, and they'll have watched the Euros maybe.
Well, he won the best award, didn't he, Jorginho? Is that, did he win,
yeah,
he
the,
win
Euro, the European the Euros best.
Again, he's not even Chelsea's third best player, never mind the third best player in the world.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. And it isn't just him, by the way. Like, right now, Mo Salah's number one for me. And I think it's Lewandowski and Benzema are probably my top three, as it stands this second. But again, over the course of the year, what I think should have happened, actually, I think because last year's Ballon d'Or was jibbed off, I think they should have done two. You were voting for the last 2 years,
In
which case it really should have been Robert Lewandowski who won it.
Yeah.
But even Messi admits like he got diddled out of that one. He could have even given it. He could have said, "Listen,
he still might." Messi was pushing for it.
Please, let's post Oscar. Almost like a post Oscar. He's not even dead, but give the season dead. Give him that award. But no, to answer the question, obviously, like Mo Salah, I think he's the best player in the world right this second. But a Ballon d'Or isn't a vote of who's the best player in the world right this second. Mm-hmm. It's a political winning things, it's all a bit messy.
It's seasonal, messy, isn't it? Because if you think of when the votes are, it's like October, isn't the vote? So you're not going to be voting in October on the season that's just six to eight games in with international breaks and all that, and they've had friendlies. There's nothing gone on really. Plus, players can start really well, like Pogba getting 25 assists in three games and he's done nothing since. Do you know what I mean? So I think you're not really going to take that into account. So based on last year, where there's six, I think I'll say this, and I'm going to get hammered in the comments here. I think Mo Salah was lucky to get seventh based on last season. He was one of our best players, but we went through hell and he held in there. But last season, there was definitely ten better players in the world than Mo Salah last season. And you've just named three or four of them. And I think Jorginho was better than Salah last season. Over the course of the season, what he achieved is his consistency across the games. And you've got to take into account what they've won. You can go into a Champions League final against Man City. So they just appeared there, didn't they? Winning the final, and he did really well.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because again, it depends what you're judging it on. And you're right. It's a bit of it's part popularity contest, and it's part there's a bit of recency bias throw in there. Mm. And there's also like there's the headline photographs. So it's like what when you run through a list of like potential people, it's the photos. It's like you do like if you did a vote on a website, you put a photo, representative photo, and then you've got there's Messi with like the Copa America, and there's Jorginho with the Champions League, and there's Lewandowski with the Bundesliga, and you know, and so on and so forth. Watching Mo Salah picture, when he's just there.
Didn't get top goal scorer, didn't get top assister. Yeah. So when you put it in that perspective,
but to the point. Liverpool were top of the league. You know, we went top of the league around this time last year. If we'd carried on like that,
what pisses me off as well, if Bakary Saka scores his penalty, Bakary Saka scores his penalty rather, and then the next Italian fella misses his penalty, Jorginho doesn't come third in the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah,
that's got nothing.
And he missed his penalty.
He missed his penalty. It's got nothing to do with anything he's done.
Yeah.
It's just that three fellas for England missed the pen. Or like, you know, if Pep doesn't shit the bed in the Champions League final, that's the point where it's not based on pure talent. It is very narrative driven. Messi,
there's been a bit of these for midfielders though, hasn't he? With the Ballon d'Or, you know, Modric.
Salah was well better than Modric that year. Like, why did Modric win that?
It's a voting thing. I get it. I've always said I've got no issue with Messi winning the Ballon d'Or every single year because I think he's the best. And he had a very good start. He ended the season all right with Barca. He had a good Copa America, again, wins something there, his first international tournament. He hasn't done anything for PSG. I think he's got a couple of goals. Mm. He's done not much. But like you say, it's all based on the things. And that's why I think Mo Salah, and we're obviously going to speak about this after the break, is that he's got a great chance for the next summer's one because, again, who knows? If AFCON happens, and who knows where we're at with the world with that. But if AFCON happens, he's got a chance. I think Liverpool probably will win something. No. The World Cup isn't until next winter, so that's disregarded.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's no World Cup in the middle, because Mo Salah's not going to win the World Cup. Egypt aren't going to win the World Cup. But if they win the AFCON and Liverpool win something, then the narrative is written for you again. He's not going to get diddled out of it by some World Cup where he can do as best as he can, but Egypt are never going to win it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. We'll pick up a little bit on the Salah conversation. Before I talk about something with you guys, LFC Forever did tweet us and said, what else could Nat Phillips do to win the Ballon d'Or?
It's
robbed.
He's probably better than Jorginho, centre mid. It's a shame for Nat.
I reckon he'd do all right in that Chelsea back three as well, to be honest.
I get the joke, but that's part of it as well. Like, what the fuck can Mo Salah do to win something when he's looked turned round and there's nobody left? With all due respect, that's what kind of is a bit infuriating about these things. I used to always like the PFA Player of the Year or the Football Writer one, because I didn't agree with it, but they voted Scott Parker once. He had a really good season. West Ham still went down, but he was really, really good. Mm. And that's kind of, that is almost fairer. He probably shouldn't have won in hindsight, but you get what I mean?
With the risk of falling into the category of bitterness, and my mask slipping is what I should say, is that I've seen this with awards. I find it funny that like Redmen's won awards in years when we've done worse things than we've done this year. Mm. Like, we made that Henderson documentary, which I think is the best thing that anyone's made in our medium, but there's no award ceremonies that look at individual content. It comes down to a lot of like, hey, let's have a fan vote, or let's pick a name, and we're never going to win them. Because Robbie is king of social media. But yeah, that's you're right. That's why it's a good point actually on that.
David Ginola won it in 1999. Man U won the treble. It's never been done before.
Yeah.
So it's rather been a balance.
Yeah, listen, shit happens. Like I say, when Man City kept not winning it for ages, and Pep was like, what are we? We've won it. We keep winning the league. And like Liverpool, Salah got it. Over when City won the league and things like that. So
we could do with him winning it just to prove to everyone that it's possible to win it at Liverpool. That would be a very good thing for the City and for the club indeed. We actually don't have an advert to go to. I need to talk to you guys at home for a moment, whether you're listening on podcast form or in video. It is the last day of review month. It is an entire table which has got 8 odd games worth of coverage, pre and post match, instant match reactions, final words, opposition previews. We've also got a video that's going out this week exploring derelict Melwood. We got access to Liverpool's former training ground. Let's go and have a look around and see what condition it's in now, which is mad. We've got an incredible back catalogue of documentaries and interviews, and we've got a 2-part special coming out on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, the 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era, as voted for by you guys as well. So if you start your free month, you get all of that and more. And I mentioned the Henderson 10 documentary series. If you haven't checked that out yet, all 3 episodes and every single full in-depth interview that we got, including Jurgen Klopp, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, and a whole lot more, all streaming on Redmen Plus. So go to the RedmenTV.com, join up as a club captain there, put the code Redmen Plus, all one word, in there in the discount code box, and you get an entire free month to check it out. But that code will turn off at midnight Tuesday night, so don't sleep on it. Have a go, see how you feel about it all, and hopefully get involved with Redmen Plus this festive period.
I've just set Ross's alarm for 11:59.
We'll be out walking the office puppy, won't we?
The office dog. We need office dog on the show at some point.
Yeah, we definitely.
When it learns how to control its bladder.
Has it got a name?
Shenzi.
Shenzi.
Yeah, but she needs to like a bit more toilet training than she can come in the studio.
So yeah, if you want some more Redmen Office puppy content, then check our Instagram account out.
Or the TikTok as well.
Or the TikTok.
There's puppies everywhere.
Puppies galore.
So why Shenzi? Is it like?
It looks like the hyena off Lion King. She's adorable.
I'm not normally one who's asked about animals, but like it's. Yeah, the dog's boss. Yeah. Boss dog. Right, sound. Raw Copite asked us, which leads us into the topic, just to pick up where we were, really. What does Salah need to achieve to win the 2022 Ballon d'Or? And the question, to kind of kick things off, really, for this, Steve, do we feel that was like the last hurrah of Messi? No, look, and I saw you going to bat for this on Twitter, Sam, so I agree, by the way. He still had a good season.
What a great analogy, by the way. I like that. Going to bat for him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Knows who he's
just crowded. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just two clicker players. Yeah, yeah. But I got a little sense of the Messi thing of like, he's probably not going to win it again. So there is something to go, well, he finally won Copa America, so he got the international trophy that had been like sort of lacking for him. It kind of makes sense to give it to him. We saw the goal 50 thing, he was right up there again, in that Ronaldo was up there again and that kind of stuff.
They're good footy players still. They're not what they were, but they're still good. What does Mo Salah need to do? Liverpool need to win something. Like, that's just it's a narrative award. Liverpool need to win something. Robert Lewandowski might need to like get injured. I don't know. Listen, there's probably a few people there. And again, going back to what we mentioned earlier before the ad read there was, they probably owe Lewandowski one. So my worry is, the only way that Mo Salah doesn't win it, if he carries on playing like this, hey, Liverpool, we will win something. Are they thinking, we really owe Lewandowski one?
Yeah.
And that's the only way. And listen, I wouldn't begrudge him. He's brilliant. Karim Benzema's having an amazing season. So there's ways that he doesn't win it. But a good AFCON will help. Winning that would be amazing. Does he captain Egypt? I think he captains Egypt, if
I'm
saying.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
If he's the man lifting that trophy, if it happens, the tournament, if Liverpool win one of the big two trophies in May, that's how Mo Salah wins it. He broke the league record, didn't he, 32 goals once, and didn't win it because we didn't win anything. It is about the trophies at the end of the day. Whether people agree with that or not, the Ballon d'Or winner's always pretty much won something. So yeah, but like right now, I think he should be the favourite. I haven't looked at the bookies odds or not, and I might do that in a second. But like, right now, I think he's probably it's him and Lewandowski the front runners, aren't they?
Is there an issue? I think I'm right in saying this. The African thing sometimes plays against you because your vote gets diluted a little bit sometimes, and that's the issue that Mane's got as well. Is that it's harder for Mane to win things because a lot of people. We'll just put Mo Salah naturally ahead of him. I mean, that's another consideration. I kind of agree with pretty much everything they said there, though. Sam, he just needs to... He personally needs to carry on as he is and trust that the other lads around him continue to perform at this level, because you're right, he does need a big shiny silver thing somewhere along the way to just for that headline moment and photo.
Yeah, without the World Cup or the Euros being on, I think it's going to be down to the Champions League, isn't it? It always has been down to the Champions League. Ronaldo's of all... Even there's one Ronaldo one night convinced Messi got robbed because Ronaldo won the Champions League. And it is what it is. So I think Messi won the Copa del Rey and the international tournaments, the Copa America. Then he got most goals and most assists in La Liga, even though Barca were crap. So I think he did deserve it on last season in terms of all round. Salah, for me, could win the AFCON and do what Messi did and still not win it if PSG win the Champions League. Because if PSG win the Champions League,
they'll flip a coin
between Messi and Mbappe. Mbappe's got a shout. He's still scored about 10 goals this season. I think the only way Lewandowski wins it is if he wins the Champions League, because the problem is with Bayern Munich is it's like when Ronaldo played for Juventus until last season, really, when the mold was broken, is that you're expected to win the league and expected to score 40 goals because every single player in your team is better than every single player in every single other team, including Lewy, still probably better than Haaland. So there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't win every game of football. I think they're already out the cup as well, Bayern, so they can only win the German League and the Champions League this season. So they're probably going to win the German League, so there's going to be nothing normal. Out of the normal there. Yeah. So he's got to win the Champions League for me. There's no tournament for him to win with Poland. So Salah's got a great chance, but for Liverpool to do it, for me, he's got to win the Champions League or get to the final and do what we did last time. Do you know where he scored 30-odd goals in the league? The PR's there for him now, the Pepsi adverts, you know, he's already a superstar. I believe he was probably fortunate to get seventh on last season, but shows his PRs there.
I think there's a bit of that. I think the PR stuff is a massive part of this, because Lewandowski does bits and pieces, does it? And again, you know, the point is he'll be doing a lot of it in German, yeah. So you know, Polish. So I'm not. We won't necessarily be as privy to that. It won't be in our bubble as much. But Salah's doing the right things. He's doing post-match interviews, which he never used to do. He's a very private person, and Liverpool have protected him very well over the years. Because I remember even going back to when Liverpool were one of the Pez teams, Salah was apparently a big Pez player, and Konami were very confident that they were going to get him as part of the Liverpool deal, because he was an avid player and he'd want to be involved. But they were very keen to not throw him to the forefront of stuff. They just wanted to keep him aside. But I think he's learned that you've got to be on the cover of magazines. And I know, look, he was Times Man of the Year, wasn't he, 3 years ago or whatever? Yeah. But he needs to generate headlines. And it's the thing of taking your top off when you celebrate. It's a bit Ronaldo-ish. Remind everyone, get people talking about you, not just for the goals that you score. Do it for your humanitarian things. You know, he was hosting that Earth Award, wasn't he? And he was all that kind of stuff. I think that's, he's starting to get the brand right. And again, in a popularity contest, that's a big part of it.
I think that, again, we mentioned here, that the main thing that he's got in his favour is the no World Cup. Because what would have happened is, whoever did well in that World Cup, two months later, Luka Modric got to a final, didn't he? He didn't even win it and was the best player
in the
world.
Got battered in the final, by the way.
And he was the best player, and he was voted the best player. And obviously, Real did the one thing, so I get it. You know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, we know very well that they won things that year. But that helps most case, I think. That's you mentioned before, but the problem being from Africa, but Lewandowski, yes, this as well, from being from Poland, is that you're probably not going to win a major tournament, because you can be the best player in the world, Alamo Salah, and if there's 10 lads around you who aren't, there's a couple of Premier League players and a couple of bits and whatever. Rob Lewandowski with Poland. Poland got some good players, but then they've just got Aston Villa's right back, who's England's seventh choice right back, to come and play for them. Because there's a talent thing there that really helps Mo's case. That I think the World Cup being in December really gives him a good chance. But if the AFCON takes place, he needs to do well, because
which is tough, because that Egypt
they're not favourites, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not. Again, he doesn't have to win. Yeah, no, in fact, he probably doesn't have to go far. And that's the thing about it. It is the international tournament. You can forget 7 months of footy to focus on those 4 weeks, and they get so much attention. Again, what the fuck's Jorginho doing as the third best player in the world? How's that a thing?
Yeah.
It's nonsense. He isn't the third best player in Chelsea. He's not even the fifth best player at Chelsea. But because Italy do well, and he plays a part, obviously, and then Chelsea do well in the Champions League, he does a part. If you ask Chelsea players now, right, all your players are going to be put up for a draft or sale. You have to keep three. You definitely 100% want to keep. How many will keep Jorginho? They'd all keep
Mendy.
Lukaku would be probably one of the shows. Kante's better than Jorginho. I think Reece James is probably more important at this moment in time than him. So ask Italy. Was Jorginho one of Italy's three best players in that World Cup? I don't know. Chiesa was probably the best player that they had there. And then the centre-half.
Even Barella, the other midfielder, was brilliant.
The wing-back before he got injured was excellent. Yeah. The two centre-halves were amazing, all gritty fellas.
Well, to the point on Barella finishes 26th. And so, again, if you're talking about the weighting of things, you know, being the European Cup clearly has a massive say in this. I think adding an international trophy on top is a decisive thing.
That's a landslide victory, which has happened before, hasn't it?
If England won that, Harry Kane.
If England would have won the Euros, Harry Kane would have won that.
He'd have been very high up on it. And again, he doesn't stop Marcus Rashford missing a pen, or Jadon Sancho missing a pen, or Saka missing a pen. That's the only frustrating thing, about when you put so much narrative into those 2 weeks or 4 weeks. It's really, Georgie? That's the one. I've got no problem. Again, I keep saying this before. Messi winning, it's fine, because he's Messi. He's brilliant. I would have given it to Lewandowski personally, but again, I'm probably a bit biased. But that's the only thing that might hinder Mo Salah, is if Egypt have a poor AFCON and someone else goes and wins it. That's what we might.
I don't think that matters. When Mahrez, so when Van Dijk won it, right? Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I did look this up last night. But when Van Dijk should have won it and came second and won the European Player of the Year, didn't he? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Mahrez had won the AFCON in the summer with Algeria and the English treble, which had never been done before by any team ever, and he finished 10th. Now, don't get me wrong, he wasn't a forefront player for City. He was the leader for Algeria. But had that been, let's think of a German player, or Leroy Sané, played really well for Bayern Munich, won the treble for them, the domestic treble or double, whatever it is, and then gone and won the World Cup and absolutely dominated for Germany. Sorry, the Euros for Germany. He would have won the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
But because it's Mahrez, because it's AFCON, it's not seen as big. But again, it comes down to that PR. If Salah did what Mahrez did, even though if Liverpool didn't win the European Cup, I think Salah would win it because that treble and that international, because of who you are.
Yeah, and also, but as pointed out, we are fortunate that the Liverpool name actually carries a bit of weight as well. So being successful for Liverpool is more eye-catching than being successful for Manchester City.
100%. Yeah. And winning the European Cup.
Yeah.
Helps. Yeah. Like, City didn't win it. Like, again, if City would have won the Champions League last year, I bet Kevin De Bruyne is a little bit higher than he is now. Again, he's probably lucky to be in where he got voted,
by the way. So, yeah.
He didn't have a particularly great season. He didn't have a particularly great Euros, but he's fucking brilliant.
Well, he won PFA last year and he didn't have a great season. So that just shows you how it works, doesn't it?
He is brilliant. But yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? The Ballon d'Or in everyone's head is, who is the best football player in the world? And that's not what it is. It is far much too much around. It's who had the best season and who's got the best PR and what country you're born in and well, did your team do well? Even though, like that, like Mo Salah scored 32 goals in a season once and didn't finish seventh in the, like that. You know what I mean?
I think he was top three, wasn't he?
He finished third, and Mane probably finished fourth once, didn't he?
That was the year after, wasn't it?
So that's the thing, is that it's all weird. That's the thing.
I think there's a degree to which it's Messi's award. Generally speaking,
and you've got to earn it off them,
and you've got to just be. It's like there's learning via osmosis. It's like you've just. It's a weird. Like you just know when someone's is. It's just accepted that they're gonna do it, and that's why the Lewandowski thing's a little bit mad. But you'll know. It's like it's why we felt Virgil was robbed because it was just so obvious that he was just huge. He was bigger than the sum of his parts. He was bigger than his role as a centre half in a football team that year, and that hasn't actually changed. But it was just, it felt right. You know, he had his face on the billboards and all that kind of stuff. He really felt like he'd come of age.
That was
Salah's on the path to that.
Yeah. That was worse than the Modric one, that wasn't it? Because at least Modric won the Champions League.
Yeah,
Messi won the league.
Yeah, ridiculous. The list, just for those of you who haven't seen it yet, joint 29th, Cesar Azpilicueta and Luka Modric, Jed Moreno, Ruben Diaz and Nicolo Barea, 26th, 25th, Phil Foden, 24th, Pedri, that's a bit mad.
That's mad.
23, Harry Kane, 21, joint Lautaro Martinez and Bruno Fernandes, 20th, Riyad Mahrez, 19, Mason Mount, 18th, Simon Kier.
Hang on, that's Fernandes pure above Kane.
That's mad.
Simon Kier above Ruben Diaz. Yeah. I mean, again, maybe there's some narrative in
well,
that.
Well, there's definitely
Christian
Eriksen. Yeah, exactly.
See, that's it. It's not about football, that is it, the game, is it?
Yeah. Luis Suarez, 17. Neymar, 16. Sterling, 15. 14, Leonardo Bonucci, 13, Giorgio Chiellini.
You can't separate those two fellas.
They're always together. Award if they win it.
12, Romelu Lukaku. 11, Erling Haaland. 10, Gigi Donnarumma. 9, Kylian Mbappe. 8, Kev De Bruyne. 7, Mo Salah. 6, Cristiano Ronaldo. 5 in goal, 4 Karim Benzema, 3 Jorginho,
2 Lewandowski,
and 1 Lionel Messi. There you go. That is that. So yeah, we're on the road to Salandor 2022.
Predict then between the three of us who's going to win it this year.
Salah. Liverpool are going to win the European Cup this year, and Mohamed Salah. Egypt are going to get knocked. No,
I don't think they'll win that.
Egypt are going to get knocked out in the group stages of the thing, so he's fit enough to do it for us.
Supposed to be in January, helps people going to forget by the time they vote. I think Mo Salah.
The worst thing that could happen for Mo Salah, by the way, is Sadio Mane winning the AFCON. Because
if Liverpool win something,
he's like, shit.
Double bubble, yeah. He scored 40 more goals. I'm going to go mad here and throw it out there. And I think that Mbappe is going to win it because I think PSG are going to learn a harsh lesson from what happened to Man City and win the European Cup.
I really want
Liverpool to win it. I really, really do. But I just think sometimes, like, yeah, that's just my...
I think if it's not Salah, it'll be Lewandowski because I think
I think the general
Ryan Giggs vibes.
The PR has already very much started. Even in his exceptions, Preet Leo Messi's like, "I'm so sorry, mate. I am so sorry about this.
You can have it on weekends."
Honestly, I'm almost embarrassed about how bad this is. I'm going to turn the lights on the Eiffel Tower now, but before I do it, I'm just saying. So that's what he done. It was very. It was almost embarrassing before.
It's not going to be Neymar, is it? By the way,
he's injured now, isn't he?
Done. See his foot. See you later.
Horrible that. Right, yeah, we're going to chat Merseyside derby in a moment, but we have got an incredible, not just one competition, but 25 competitions starting on the 1st of December for our incredible Redmen Plus Club Legends. Here's some more details from a wonderful man.
Hey guys, Dee here with some excellent news for you. Usually throughout the year we do a monthly draw for all our amazing Club Legend subscribers. Well, in the month of December, it's the festive period and we're feeling kind, we're feeling giving. So what we're going to be doing every single day from December 1st right up until Christmas Day is a daily draw for all our Club Legend subscribers. We've got some amazing prizes to give away as well. We're going to go through those shortly, but what we're going to do is show you how you guys can make sure your name is in the hat to win some of these amazing gifts and prizes. So if you are not a subscriber to Redmen Plus, if you want to go and join now, it's very, very simple. Go to the Redmen TV website, you click the button that says join us, from there sign up, join as a Club Legend either on a monthly subscription or as a yearly subscription, and you guys will automatically be entered into every single one of these prize draws. If you are one of our Club Captain subscribers and you want to upgrade your account to become a Club Legend, very, very simple how you do that from the homepage. You click the My Account button and follow the steps there to upgrade again, either a monthly or a yearly subscription. Very, very simple. So what amazing prizes have you got? I hear you ask. Well, let me tell you that. We've got a book from Mona Nember, the Liverpool's head of nutrition. We've got a signed picture of Michael Owen. We've got a Hendo 10 box full of goodies. We've got DVDs, we've got socks. We've got a signed author's edition of our Hendo 10 book. We've got a signed medal signed by former Liverpool striker Michael Owen. We've got our new DVD, Let's Talk About Six. We've got calendars. We've got a signed picture from Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson. We've got every single one of our new Christmas sweaters. You can see them behind me here. All of them, they are flying out of the store. But you can get one for free if you enter this draw. And then the big one on Christmas Day. Saving the best to last. Look at this beauty. It's a framed, signed shirt by none other than the King. The King, Sir Kenny Dalglish. What a prize that is. And all you guys have to do to be in the draws is be a Club Legend subscriber. So sign up at the Redmen TV as a Club Legend. You'll be in the draw. If you're a club captain now, upgrade your subscription to Club Legend and you too will be in the draw. 25 of these draws will be happening through the month of December. Make sure you're in it.
Oh yeah, well done, Steve. Quick change. That's a very visual gag.
Can we please pre-record that habit? I am sick of that tinsel army neck every 5 minutes.
Superb. Yes, so as mentioned before, it is the last day of a Freeview month, but it kicks us into December. You've got two tiers of subscriptions over there. Club Captain gets you all the content. Club Legend is a bit more like a Patreon for us, where you get access to the Club Legend Discord chat, and you get free merchandise, and you get extra bonus features. You get to be on the Club Legend show as well, and all that kind of stuff. But as an extra bonus, I get 25 days worth of giveaways. So if you want to be in with a chance of winning that, start your Club Legend subscription. It's £10 a month, but so you get this incredible extra, a wealth of extra benefits as well to it, as well as the full suite of Redmen Plus content.
And 25 boss prizes. Yeah. Some good stuff.
I'm really pleased with the stuff on there. I think there's a chance we've been a bit stupid. We do this every year where we normally do like a Christmas hamper giveaway, and I always go at the end, I go, I think we've given too much away. But like that Kenny Dalglish shirt, like that's, those signed shirts go for like, they're hundreds. The club shop sell them for like 300 odd quid. We've got the signed Hendo print in there and all kinds, and there are presumably some Michael Owen fans out there still.
There's some, if nothing else, save it till he dies and sell it.
Got a speculate to accumulate, eh?
Didn't expect
that to come. But
it's a capitalist world. We're all living in it. If you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah. Oh, and lastly as well, we did a video last week, with Jordan Henderson's dad, Brian Henderson, the raising money for cancer treatment and diagnosis up in Sunderland. It was the unit that actually saved Jordan's dad's life. Needs some equipment to help better diagnosis or whatever, but you can win the signed match-worn Henderson shirt from the Man United 5-0 win over Man United at Old Trafford, I should say. Watch that video, it's on YouTube, and there's a link in there to the Just Giving and stuff. I just thought that's the 10th that ends, so yeah, keep going on that as well. Anyway, loads of stuff to keep you entertained. Let's talk Merseyside derby. Sam Walker, how are you feeling about things? The Blue Noses Wednesday night.
Do you know what? Like, it's the perfect storm, isn't it? Obviously, what's going on with them at the minute, we don't even need to, everyone knows the shite. Injuries galore, can't win a game of football, got our old manager in charge. But personally, I'm looking at the Liverpool side of things first. I think usually we go into the derby confident, but like a bit wary, a bit, we're not quite sure, you know, not quite front foot. Are we going to be conservative? But, you know, the revenge tour, which keeps hearing you talking about, and we've talked about over the weeks, the Atletico Madrid win was huge. Definitely helped at Old Trafford. You know, that's massive. This last week, you know, the way the players have got back fit again, the midfield three, Matip having a week off, Robbo back at his best. You're like, it's going to take some serious effort from Everton to put it into us. You know, they're capable of doing that. But my personal opinion is I think we go into that game striding into it with real confidence and wanting to put them to the sword.
You can't help but feel. I remember I've listened to. In fact, some Man United fans were talking to me about our pre-Man United build-up show and saying that we were talking. It's like, what are you just talking about? How you're going to win, not if you're going to win. And I always worry a little bit about that. But it does feel like if Everton are going to get something from this game, like a draw is not inconceivable. And look, we've dropped some mad points this season already, Steve. But I look at it, and in the absence of Dominic Calvert-Lewin, it's got like Phil Jagielka Thunderbolt style moments about, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to take a moment of madness. It's not going to be Everton are a better team and Everton play a better brand of football and we go toe to toe and they come out on top. It's going to, that's where you've got to be careful, because it's very hard to legislate for that. The only way to legislate for that is just to score goals, lots of them.
And they went out sold us in this game last year, didn't they? I know the injury to Van Dijk and Camden, but like, Everton, give it a go.
Well, they've been getting more like that over the last two or three seasons. Was it Marco Silva's first Anfield derby? Was that the one where Andre Gomez misses that as that one bluffed on the line? Yeah. You know, they gave us a hell of a game that night. They've been getting closer, but it doesn't feel like they've gone
back again. They were on the front foot in that game, scored a couple of goals. Liverpool obviously get one ruled out at the very end. Like, both teams in different places now. We are one of the best teams in Europe, and they're shit, and that's where we're at now. So yeah, that's the thing, is that the only reason there's any mate, it's a derby and what can happen and like that and any game, blah blah. It's the cliches, but in every sense of the word, Liverpool are better than them at the moment. Like, there was a debate even last season or the season before. You were like, you know, when you used to do those combined 11s, and you could feasibly have put three or four Everton players in. It wasn't like, you know, Calvert-Lewin was in, and Decore might have been in there. There was an argument about Luca Dean, a genuine argument with Damon Roberts. Like, now it's 11, and the bench is all us as well. Like, there's no one. It is though, and because Calvert-Lewin's injured, like, I'll half hear a Decore argument if he's fit, because I think he's really good.
Yeah, he will be fit when he.
Yeah, he's playing, but I mean, if he's 100%, he wouldn't be in the team, but he'd be on the bench on this bench, You know, there's even a Kelleher pick for debate to have, genuinely. So that's where we're at. Like, we're just way better than them. But so Liverpool need to go in and do what they did to Arsenal. But like, yeah, we're just better than you. At some point, we're going to score, and we'll keep saying, just don't be idiots at the other end. Like we did against Southampton today, we were idiots at times. Like, throwing the ball back to that lad, or Thiago trying to dive an header on the edge of his box, or like passing to Alisson with no, like, that stupid thing. That's the only way Everton win, by doing that. Or like you say, just a moment of absolute, like, Andros Townsend can score from 40 yards because we've seen him do it. It's that type of thing. But if Liverpool play their game, like, how are they stopping Jota, Salah and Mane from scoring two or three goals as a trio? We're getting goals from midfield. We look like we're a bit more of a threat off set plays again with Virgil back. So That's where I'm at with it. It would have to be a freak result for Liverpool not to win.
It's that, I think you pointed before, Sam, the revenge tour thing is massive here. You know, we've done well on that so far. You know, we're well up on last season, you know, in those regards. This is the big one though. Like, you know, I mean, really, I know Atletico was a lingering one from you know, the season before as well. This is the one. Like, you can't get away. I still have nightmares about this game last year. And the fact that, and it's funny how, if not for that mad VAR decision off Mane, that drew the line from Mane's back when he's running away from goal, maybe we feel a bit more fondly, and maybe everything's a bit rosy. You don't know, of course, but this is the one where it's going to be horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Goodison Park is going to be horrible. It's going to be nasty. And all that angst and anger and aggression that they actually have towards their own players will be poured down on our players for the bit. And part of the revenge tour is taking that, withstanding it long enough to push it back onto the Everton players and the Everton manager.
It's interesting because, like, last season when we played Everton, we weren't in as good a place as we are now. I know we were top. We might have been at the time. I don't think we were top.
It was only after we beat Spurs.
We were top. So actually, like, you know, we'd had the Villa. It was the game after the Villa result, wasn't it? It was a bit. We needed to win at Everton to sort of propel ourselves back up. So, you know, Thiago had only just joined and Jota hadn't scored a goal yet.
Richarlison hasn't done him.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And then obviously the Van Dijk thing. But we dominated that game. We looked really comfortable. And then obviously they nicked a couple of goals. And then what happened at the end of the game. And that was them with their best team out there. They had Rodriguez, who was at the time doing okay for them. They had Gomez, who was sort of back in the tide. Everyone was going for Everton and he still scraped a 2-2 and were lucky. I think the thing is with this game is that Everton, the only way they can get anything from this game is to play like Man United did against Chelsea. And they're going to have two players who aren't as good as Sancho and Rashford on the counter-attack against just as good, if not better, individual defenders, or better individually, maybe not as a unit. Like, Gray and Townsend are going to have to literally just play counter-attacking football. Otherwise, what are they going to do? You know, corners, they've got no Yari Mina. He's the guy who causes murder. So I think, like Steve says, it's going to take an absolute freak sort of set of results. I actually think we hammered them. They get a red card and concede the penalty because that's what should have happened in many of these games. You know, Barkley should have been sent off 1 year. Richarlison got a red, but so should have Pickford last year. What seems to happen with the officials is they go into the derby and they go, oh, this is the derby. You're allowed to kick each other a bit here. And Liverpool are always the team that fall foul of that.
Yeah.
You know, it used to happen at Anfield when we played Man U. You know, Carragher's got away with one, was it Nani? But that's kind of stopped a little bit in those games now. But Everton seems to be allowed to do what they want. So I want to see Klopp today actually coming out and saying, you know what, let's look at Pickford last year. Let's look at what Cresswell did. Let's look at what was the guy on Saturday.
Yeah, make them hate him because they'll be a guaranteed Twitter will be awash with Evertonians going about opening old wounds and talk about like the mental anguish that Jordan Pickford went through in the weeks afterwards and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, my ass.
Honestly, like, you know.
Do you think Virgil? Sorry, we'll just try and lay one on him off a corner.
No,
not injuring, but like I wouldn't mind going for 50-50 with him. Like, I think the player in the past who would have done that, I don't think it's in Virgil's nature.
Virgil's the kind of guy, Steve, who'll just go up and score from a header.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he is. I think you've got some footballers who have a bit of that, certainly they need a bit of that. There's footballers who, you know, their moment arrives and it never works for them in their moments sometimes in those regards. Funny, like Steven Gerrard's a bit like that. You know, like Steven Gerrard often projected himself as being ultra cool, but he's also the guy who fell over in a post-match interview and he slipped on the tiles. I think it was like looting in the FA Cup and he literally fucking fell off the camera. You know, and you know, sometimes Virgil feels to me like get a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Or score a goal or have a moment where it looks like something's going to happen and square it and set, you know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing. Yeah. But it's a massive game for him. The thing for me about this as well is that we were having this debate in the office yesterday. We're rubbish at Goodison. Like I think we've been so good against them for so long, Sam. You know, like, in the fact that, you know, that was their first derby win in God knows how long last year, but we feel because of that, like we've got a great record against them in general. We've only won twice in the last decade. You know, we beat them in 2016 with the Mane.
Last second as well, by the way.
Yeah. In fact, we had, you just both sort of hinted at it. Can you remember what the other win was?
In
this decade.
It was 2-0, wasn't it?
Yes.
This is the one I was talking about.
Andy Carroll scored.
Andy Carroll and Luis Suarez.
Oh, yeah, right.
I remember that game.
Yeah. And that was back in 2011. So that was the only other time we'd beaten them at Goodison Park. You know, we beat them 2016 and 2011.
Well, lots of we've draws,
had like,
we've
drew two all. We had like, I think it's three or four 0-0 draws prior to that.
Yeah. We had a three all. On the spin, yeah.
We had a three all as well. Remember Sturridge's header?
That was the year we came second, wasn't it?
Because
Sturridge and Suarez were playing, maybe. Well, do you know what as well? That was the there's proper history as well, because the season we got 97 points, the last game we dropped points was against Everton away. We went there and shit the bed. Mm-hmm. They upped it a bit and we shit the bed. We missed chances. The season we won the league and got 99 points, we came back from the lockdown. I know it's not ideal, but again, we went into that game sort of on the back foot and we didn't go at them and take
them. And if Tom Davies doesn't miss a sitter, they win
the game. And again, it's avoidable. It's mentality. But for me, this season's different because we've gone to Atletico and won. We've gone and smashed Man United. That Man United win blows everything out the water. We've already beat Chelsea loads of times away. City is just too big a game to even consider a revenge. But this game is the last game. But it's not as big as hard as Atletico, Man U away. It's not. The crowd's not as big as Atletico and they're not as good as United.
Yeah, you're right. It's like the final fortress of like that we need to crack and we need to take over just to prove that we can.
I like that. It's just a December night. Like, I've got good memories of Everton away in winter. Remember that one when we went for 3-0 and I think Crouch scores, Cissé scores, doesn't he? I was at that one. We tend to do well at Goodison when it's an evening game because most derbies are early kickoffs or whatever. Like, the fact that it's a Wednesday night again on it's on Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like last time I watched the Reds on Amazon, I think it might, against Everton was the 5-2 that got Marco Silva sacked when Divock Origi's running through on his own after a minute. Like, what the fuck's this? Like, these are shit. And since then, I've actually, Everton, I thought under Ancelotti were on the right path and they were getting better and I thought they were good. I thought they deserved to win an Anfield last season. I know it was a dodgy pen and stuff but they battered us. I thought they more than held their own in that 2-2. Obviously, again, they got a bit lucky. But now they're just shit.
Yeah. I'll go off there, mate.
It's all popping off.
My phone. Yeah, I don't even know. The wife. It's fine. She's just in shit as well. she wanted to get that involved. No, but it's like they are back to being the crap Everton. Who the fans hate them. They hate the manager. They hate all the players. They're coming over to clap them at the end of the game and they're getting told to go back in the changing room. It's like they're in a bad place and there's no one better to rub salt in wounds than us. Like if they were playing City today or tomorrow night, they'd all just know that they were going
to
get beaten.
You've just got to do the expected thing, and that's what this Liverpool side's got loads better at doing is with the boss, and they're not boss in a fragile way like we were a bit last season, you know, particularly post Virgil injury. We are expectedly boss. We just turn up in big games and win, and you know, you're right, the United one's a watershed moment. I think that if you can go to that, because that's another one, we horrendous record at Old Trafford, and you know, not even in like this one where there's draws, you know, we lose games at Old Trafford and should have lost. I mean, and to your point as well, like that last Old Trafford game pre-lockdown where we draw that one because Adam Lallana has to come on and score, we're European champions there. We go on and piss the league. Yeah. And yet we shit the bed at Old Trafford. It would be really nice if we could just go out there and put a display on and get them put to bed.
I think we will, by the way. I really think we will.
I do too.
The only thing, thinking about their lineup, obviously Richarlison was suspended the weekend, pending another suspension after this game, in my opinion. But their front three are all quite quick players. I think we've just got to be careful. We don't do what we did against West Ham, where they packed themselves in really deep with Decore and Allen and whoever else plays in the midfield. Don't even know who's fit to play there. And they played Gray, Townsend and Richarlison. Now, we're talking about three subpar players here, but they could spring out. We've just got to be careful. We don't allow them to spring out at us when Trent's basically battering the door down at their end and Robbo at the other end.
Which is what this is what they tried to do against Manchester United and they fell down on it being Rondon, didn't they? He had that one where he runs through and it was like a man running backwards. it defied physics how he was able to. He got slower.
Old Trafford
and they gave it a go. They defended deep, but they kept throwing.
Scored a goal in on the counter at Townsend. Yeah, I remember.
And they'll try and do similar. The hope is, and we had this where the timing was perfect, where we had Atletico Madrid and Manchester United, where we'd gone and played the better version of that. If you can overcome, if you can score goals against Atletico Madrid, I know they're not quite the same, but to the point, you know, they're very organised and they've got a bear pit atmosphere and they've got all that kind of stuff going on. If we can do that, hopefully, I think we've been prepping to come up against low block sides, and no one's really played a low block against us in the same way. I know there's a bit of West Ham, but also West Ham again, I've got then bodies to throw to throw at you as well. I don't like being cocky about the derby. It makes me feel really uncomfortable inside.
Jürgen Klopp's being cocky all the time. He thinks Everton are crap, and he's going to go there. And to be fair, he's going to pick his best team, and he's going to expect them to win, and he should win because man for man, we're better. Team are better. Better player. The manager's better. Everything's better about us at the moment. Like I say, it's Everton away, and it's a Premier League away game. No, it's not going to be easy, but you can make it very easy.
They're expecting to lose as well, I think, which is a big part of that. So it's not going to take... It's not like where Brentford expect to lose, but they go, well, who cares, because it's a free hit.
Yeah.
We're just going to enjoy ourselves and keep going and keep going and keep going. Like, if Everton do that, they might be all right, and they might actually win some of their fans over, to be fair, if they keep slugging away. But if we bury them...
And they think the manager's getting sacked tomorrow...
There's no coming back. If we get to two... Probably three, certainly. I don't see how there's possibly a way back for them into that game, because the fact, again, that's it, the vitriol turns. It's not about Liverpool anymore. They're playing against themselves. The fans are all of a sudden they're basically on our side, which is, you know, mad, isn't it? But yeah, fingers crossed we can get that done, because I don't need to live in that world. Have you got? I have asked this before. Have you got many Blues in your life?
Only a couple of mates, but one of my mates, I've got two good mates, and they're both, one lives in Ireland now, so he's hiding away, he supports some Irish team, he keeps sending out WhatsApp group messages. I hope one of the lads is watching to send this to him, but yeah, he's actually a very sensible Blue, and one of my other mates, Nick, he's a very sensible Blue. The only Blues that are in my life that are bitter, they're not in my life, they're just like members of the footy team or cricket club or something like that, but I don't have any close to me. Couple of cousins, but yeah, don't really speak to them for anything. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm quite surrounded by Reds. My brother's a Spurs fan, so that's another story for another day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was just interesting. Lachille sends a super chat in saying, buzzing for 2024 when Jude Bellingham is bossing the midfield and the cop singing "Hey Jude." I'm here for that all day long.
Write itself, that one, doesn't it? Yeah. Sometimes the cop needs to get creative for a song. That's fine. It's done.
Yeah.
No, what minute does Rafa come out then? The song.
Oh my God.
If we imagine we're 5-0 up in the 85th minute and we sing their
song.
Rafa's meme.
If we thought the Ollies at the Wheel chant went off at Old Trafford, can you imagine? We've actually got a proper song for Rafa with verses and all kinds. Two.
Rafa Benitez. Yeah, get that one out.
Yeah. Oh my God. We've got a Rafa Benitez songbook. Like, right, there we go, everyone, lads. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, definitely. Can't wait for that. There we go.
We need Mane to score. We need Mane Christmas Everton back over this window. Christmas as well. Everton, the fact that happened on the 1st of December, we can use it for a good couple of weeks as well.
Yeah that'll be absolutely astounding. Yeah, there's so much more to win here.
It's more than 3 points.
There's more at stake than 3 points.
There's content to be made and songs to be sung.
Next year's Christmas jumpers.
A mess to be sold.
That is it. Loads of great stuff coming up from us. If you haven't checked the build-up show out already, then do that. More chat around the Ev as well. I'm going to be sitting down with one of the Toffee TV lads today.
They're fighting each other currently of who gets the honour.
Neither of them wants to do it, but I will be dragging one of Baz or Pez in front of camera to chat. Maybe that'll be streaming on Redmen Plus. So yeah, if you want to use the Redmen Plus free view code, then you'll get the Oppo preview for that, as well as around the league yesterday, which was talking about Norwich.
Leeds,
Leeds to poo, which is always good fun as well. The debate show is Wednesday. There is the Geno Insight show with Neil Jones on Thursday as well, where I'm going to be asking about the Nat Phillips to West Ham links and the Joe Gomez to Aston Villa links as well, amongst other things. Yeah, there's loads of amazing stuff, and all the documentaries and features, and the Melwood video is going out later on this week as well. Yes. Anyway, thank you, gents. Absolute pleasure. Fingers crossed we smash the Blues everywhere and come back smiling for another Redmen podcast next week. All the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.